This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Over the past few weeks, we've been hearing the first chapter in our new series called The Struggle to Stay. Our first West Virginian in this series is Colt Brogan. He's a 20-year-old West Virginian who says he's determined to stay. Last time we learned about Colt's struggle with drugs and his rocky relationship with his mom. But Colt's goal to become a farmer is connected to his mother. Colt sees farming as his ticket to stay because more than being a farmer, he wants to feel rooted to the land where his family has lived for generations. But as Roxy Todd found in spending time with Colt and his family, making that dream a reality is complicated.
At Lincoln County High School, Colt spends most of his time working inside two heated greenhouses. Or when the weather warms up, he plants vegetables inside a plastic hoop house, an unheated greenhouse which he helped build. Today, Colt and his coworkers are loading boxes of veggies that they're selling to the Wild Ramp Market in Huntington, West Virginia. Today's harvest includes 2 pounds of spinach.
And then we have bunching onions or green onions, kind of close, very similar to the wild onions you'll see. And then we have a very colorful Swiss chard that has yellow, pink, and white stems.
He's learning to farm as part of a project called Refresh Appalachia, a 2.5-year training project with the Coalfield Development Corporation. Colt has to attend classes at a community college, work at least 30 hours a week learning to farm, and meet with the rest of his team at least once a month. The education, training, and even paychecks are funded through federal grants and private donations. He started this program back in 2015, and if everything goes as planned, he'll have an associate's degree in applied science and skills to be a farmer.
And then there's a few corn starts, and the rest of this greenhouse is covered in tomatoes and peppers.
It's hard work and several things to juggle, but Colt is determined to finish. He's wanted to be a farmer since he was about 13 years old, when his family moved onto land that's been in the family for generations.
I lived on my great-great-grandfather's farm for about 2 years.
He says his mom always talked about her dream of getting this family farm, the place where she spent holidays and summers as a kid.
Well, my mother's always wanted a farm, and she talked about it her whole life and how she used to grow up on this magical, the nostalgic sense that she said it was magic, growing up on the farm. And I feel like for her it was more of a carefree situation because she was younger and she didn't have responsibilities of the farm.
I always felt that my dreams were simple. I just wanted to have a farm and a family and a horse to ride around on. That's all I wanted in life.
Maria Murado says in 2010, it seemed like her dream had come true. Her boyfriend at the time bought her family farm, and Colt's family moved onto the land. But 3 years later, when she and her boyfriend broke up, he kept the property.
And it took most of my life to get it, and I couldn't even keep it. Physically and mentally, he abused me, and I couldn't stand to see my kids go through it anymore. And I left him.
The breakup and the loss of her family farm was devastating for Colt's mom. It still is.
Like I said, I feel like I have no purpose at all. I feel hopeless. I feel all's lost.
According to Colt, his mom's problems with drug and alcohol addiction got much worse when she lost the family farm.
Something snapped in her, and she kind of gave up on life a little bit every day, a little bit more every day.
Colt's mom says addiction is something from the past, but she didn't want to talk about this on the recorder. As a single mom, she had to work several jobs, and they struggled with money. Her mom and her sister helped take care of Colt.
If I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have worked a day. I'd have stayed right home with my boy. He missed me, is what it was. That's what hurts me. He missed me.
After she lost the family farm, she and Colt and Colt's little brother, River, moved back to their small house along the Coal River. But things were chaotic and unstable there, as far as Colt remembers. Drugs had moved into the community. It seemed like addiction affected every family. The instability from his childhood is still something he carries with him today, even though he doesn't live with his mom anymore.
I come to houses like Ben's, house.
Ben Gilmer is Colt's boss at Refresh Appalachia.
And I see a family doing well. I mean, they have a house, they get along, it seems, and their kids are happy. And I get tore up inside, and I can't fight back tears, and I'm just feel out of place because this is not what I'm used to. I'm not used to things going smoothly. I'm used to tension and vices and drugs and alcohol and problems. And when I see the opposite of that, anytime I see the opposite of that, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel, I feel emotionally detached, but, and sad. I don't know why that I can't stop that feeling, but that's the way I get. I just get tore up inside.
Colt wants to have a life like Ben has, stable, with happy children, a partner that he gets along with. That dream is almost always on his mind. So is farming. He doesn't have hopes of buying back his family farm. It's too big, too expensive, he says. But if he could just get some sort of land where he could grow food, he says he'd be happy.
Farmers have to really take their what they do seriously because it's their life. They're sustaining life, and they're also trying to sustain their own life and make, you know, profit off of it.
Even though Colt doesn't spend much time with his mom, she says she's extremely proud of him.
So I think it's just awesome, and I'm so into hearing his achievements.
Doing something so, like, old-fashioned in some ways, like farming is kind of old-fashioned. Do you think that he'll be able to make a living at it?
I hope so. I think we need it still. Absolutely need it still.
That's the other side of the flag, right? A farmer. It's a coal miner and a farmer on the West Virginia flag.
He's talking about the West Virginia state flag, which depicts a coal miner standing with a mining pick on one side and a farmer with an axe and a plow on the other.
I feel like I'm on the other side of it, of the flag, I guess you'd say. Like, I feel like coal mining was good for a long time or whatever. It was like a gold rush or something. It's good while it lasts, and then, you know, when it's over, it's really awful for at least a spell.
But farming takes a lot of investment, land, equipment, and right now, he's just struggling to pay his bills. He has no idea how he will even be able to save up enough money to buy land, at least not anytime soon.
The hardest thing is investing in this community and wanting to be in it, and then just like hitting all these like barriers, you know, that are put up by whether it be taxes or whether it be available land or whether it be just the outrageous price of certain land, like especially farmland and stuff like that. Just how unrealistic that is for a young person. I feel like it's, even for like a middle-aged person, you know, like 30s or something, it's still kind of unrealistic to be like, yeah, you get 2 acres and a house for like 70, 80 grand. Like, it's just, for me, that's hard because, I mean, if I bought just land, then I'd still need to put something on it. And that's expensive too, even just a little something.
In the short term, Colt doesn't know what will happen to him next year, when his 2.5-year contract with Coalfield Development is complete. Will he need to move to another part of the state to find work? More on that next time. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Lincoln County, West Virginia.
We'll hear the fourth installment of Colt's story next week here on West Virginia Morning. This morning, we hear the last of our series of stories that resulted from a reporting partnership with Wheeling Middle School. Our final youth submission comes from Layla Clark and Harmony Jackson Mayfield. These two young women are both athletes and musicians. They both come from big families, and they decided to explore the topic of drug use, why and how kids their age get exposed to it. Thank you.
My name is Harmony Jackson Mayfield. I'm in 8th grade at Wheeling Middle School, and I'm here with Layla Clark.
I'm Layla Clark, also in 8th grade at Wheeling Middle School.
What was your pitch like for the project?
I did the drug use thing because I recently experienced drug use at a party. I wanted to know how they would get punished if they were caught using drugs because I have an older brother that has friends that are into drugs and things like that, and I just didn't want him to get involved. My brother plays a lot of sports. They tend to drug test them a lot. If he did get caught with a drug test, there would be chances that he's never allowed to play that sport again, and I don't want to take any chances.
Well, I also have an older brother, and my brother, goes to a Catholic school, so, when they do drug test them for a sport, he could get kicked out of school, not only the sport. So you mentioned that you had an experience with drug use. Could you give some more detail about it?
I went to a party with one of my older friends, and when I got there, I noticed a distinct smell that was pointed out to me by my parent a long time ago. And I wanted to leave, but she insisted that we stayed longer, and I chose to. And afterwards, I was told that there was drugs at the party, and it was obvious from when I went there. And I started thinking about my choices and things like that.
Looking back at the party, would you make the same decision?
Yes, but once again, I stayed at the party because of peer pressure, or else I would have left if it wasn't for my friend. And I think that the peer pressure, talks a lot of people into doing things, and if you see a lot of people around you doing it, you start to justify it.
We invited Ron Scott Jr. to talk about drug use in middle school and high school. He's a former counselor at Youth Services here in Wheeling. Does anything stick out to you that he may have said or talked about?
A lot of things that he said stuck out to me, but peer pressure was a big one because I experienced peer pressure at the party, and I think that that has a lot of the reasons why teen drug use starts.
I've seen that scenario happen a lot before. I like to call it the mirror syndrome. Let's say me and you grew up together. We were always hanging out, doing cool stuff. You started becoming a star in whether it's sports, singing, dancing, whatever it is, you started getting noticed. But I know me and you kind of came up together, but I started making different decisions than you. So now every time I look at you, I see all those great decisions that you made that I didn't. So there's a part of me when I look at you now that I'm like, you know what? Why don't you smoke a little bit? Hang out with me a little bit. Come on down to my level a little bit. Because you're moving further away from me, and I need you to be closer to me so I don't feel like such a bad guy.
Just like me, you have older siblings and younger siblings. Are you concerned about, their actions in the future? I'm concerned about one of my little sisters. Are you?
Yes. I think, because my oldest younger sister is going into middle school next year, and that's when I first experienced drug use and teenage things, and I just don't want her to get caught up in it, so yeah, I'm worried.
Do you plan on, talking to her about it or, anything like that?
My younger sister's, my best friend, so we already had the discussion about the party, and she tells me that she's not going to do drug use, but at times she's a follower, so I do still worry.
That was Layla Clark and Harmony Jackson Mayfield discussing how the ramifications of peer pressure get a little more intense in middle school. Theirs was the final installment in a youth reporting series out of Ohio County. You can learn more about this project and hear all the kids' stories online at wvpublic.org. Claire Lynch is an accomplished country artist, Just Ask Dolly Parton, who credits Lynch with one of the sweetest, purest, and best lead voices in the music business today. Here is Claire Lynch with Empty Train on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week. Way through town.